historically, learning Tanakh, everyone knew Tanakh. Going back to, you go back 500 years, 1,000 years, people learned Tanakh. When you had the Haskalah movement, so you had a lot of people who were misquoting, misunderstanding, misusing Tanakh. And then, because people thought they could just open a Tanakh and read it and understand it, and the Maskilim had a lot of claims, and no one was around to answer their claims at any given moment. The Malbim wrote to answer their claims, and there were many rabbis who answered on an individual basis. But the rabbis saw that if someone takes you in, sits you down, and starts telling you claims, and you don't know the answers, so it could be very enticing, and you can't ensure everyone's going to have a rabbi in their back pocket that could answer all your questions. So then there was a major shift in the way of learning, and that's when the Pilpul movement drove full speed ahead, analyzing and going down to the nitty-gritty, because they saw that they have to entice intellectually the teenagers and the youth to show them in the Torah that they could get intellectual stimulation. Now, before that, no one used to spend a week or two on a daf. You learn a daf a day, 2 days, fine, you continue. You have to finish Shas, you have to finish Halacha, you have to finish a lot. So this was when Pilpul developed. This is when they also took out a lot of learning Tanakh, not most of learning Tanakh. Most yeshivas today, you have people who are 70 years old and they never learned all of Tanakh. They might have learned all of Shas, but they haven't learned all of Tanakh. A person is supposed to learn Tanakh. Chazal told us that just like the Navi in Yeshaya describes a Kala as donning 24 ornaments, so too Talmud Chacham is supposed to be donned with the 24 books of Tanakh. Those are supposed to be his ornaments. But it's been problematic for many, many years. Now, at the turn of the century, a little bit after the turn of the century, Rav Pesin's father-in-law's brother, Rav Kalmanovich, wrote a book about the importance of learning Tanakh that the Chazon Ish endorsed and asked him to publish. That the importance of learning Tanakh. It was only published a few years ago, and we have to get people to learn Tanakh. But again, with the guidance of Chazal, with the understanding of Chazal.
So we need the Perushim. We cannot see them.
Yeah, you have to learn Tanakh Perushim. Without the Perushim, you're better off not learning. In my opinion. Yeah.
Apropos Tanakh, my mother sent me a Greek translation of Tanakh, and the book of Daniel is much bigger than the Hebrew version. Why?
Because I don't know what they wrote over there. I know that I once sat in the airport, and a person, a missionary, sat next to me, and he started asking me questions. And usually I try to stay away from these conversations, but whatever I did, the guy wouldn't leave me alone. So he quoted me, he said, "What do you do with that which it says in Bereishis that the serpent said A, B, and Z?" So I said, "I don't do anything because it's not written there." She said, "What do you mean it's not written there? In the King James Version it's written." I said, "Fine, but I know the original text, and I'm telling you it's not written, it doesn't exist. You can say what you want, that doesn't say it." So he turned pale. He quoted me another thing, and I said, "I'm sorry, that doesn't say that there. By the wildest stretch of the imagination, you can't say it says that there. You can say that you want to interpret the words and add your own understanding as to what happened there, but it doesn't say that. You can't even translate it. You can't even dream that the translation means what you're telling me." So then he said, "Well, why are you wearing tefillin? Where'd you get that from?" So I said, "Oh, that it says. I'll quote you the text." So these translations, I realized this was a learned man. This was a man who was quoting me text by heart from different translations of the Tanakh. So I don't know what they do in their translations. I never bothered to go through it.
It's not even a translation. Here we're talking about the case. I mean, this Tanakh which I saw just now, which amazed me, it had the Maccabees, the book of the Maccabees.
So then it's not Tanakh.
It's not the Tanakh.
Okay.
So the Maccabees is a book that we have in Judaism also, right? But it was written in Greek.
There are a few versions. It's unclear who wrote what. It's unclear how authentic it is, how reliable it is. There's Sefer Hashmonaim and there's Sefer Maccabim. whatever it is, it's not so critical. That's not part of Tanakh.
But what I'm saying is, that what we have today, as Tanakh said, is supposed to be God-given, fully, every word. So
that's something we have to discussed on a Thursday night. Now, glad to discuss again, but I don't want to. No, let's leave it next week. God willing, Thursday night we'll have class again. We had last week Thursday night, we had the week before that Thursday night, and the week before that. So this week we won't have Thursday night class. It's supposed to be every other week. So next week we'll have Thursday night class. So let's deal with it. But in general, I would not use translated Tanakh that's not translated by a reliable Jewish authority. I wouldn't use it at all. I wouldn't even leave it in my possession. It says, Al tashken bo alecha avla. Eov said, I don't leave anything that's avla, that is iniquitous, that is things that are improper. Our sages said, even if you have a text that has a misquote, that's considered leaving within your tent something that's improper. The person is supposed to fix a quote. You see something misquoted, so put a comment on the side, fix it. But certainly something like this, I wouldn't leave my no. Sorry. Yeah, but you could ask whoever your rabbi is. I'm telling you my opinion. That's what I would do. Yeah.
Two questions. If the problem was that the Haskalah was using Tanakh wrong, why not combat it by teaching Tanakh authentically? That way, you're still learning Tanakh, but that way they know exactly what to say to the Haskalah people.
Two things. Firstly, you can never judge history because you never have a full picture of history. Secondly, I think it's very logical that you could never answer every question because you never know where the next bat is coming from.
I mean, if people knew it fairly well, they'd at least be able to tell when a hospital.
No. The Gemara says that even Amoraim tried to stay away from these debates because you don't always have an answer on the spot. So better keep them away from it. Tell them, folks, on Gemara and don't deal with it. Because you're never going to have all the answers at any given moment.
Well, so what if they started that? Well, what if, for example, the hospital had started misquoting Gemara? Then what do you do?
Okay, so fine. It's a good question. I think they'd have a more difficult time with the Gemara. But, don't.